Ephesians chapter 4. Here we go. It says, Paul writing, says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Turn to someone and say, you've been called by God. Come on, you can tell someone that. You can tell your neighbor that. You've been called by God. Come on, John, tell him. There it is. You've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults. Come on, you know your neighbor's got some faults, don't you? Let's take a minute to identify your neighbor's faults really quick. Don't do that. That'll be a weird ride home. Make allowance for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love. Make every effort. Someone say every effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. We've got some gifts. We jump down to verse 11. It says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity. Someone say unity. Someone say U-N-I-T-Y. In our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing and full of love. Can we pray? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you, God, for this gathering of the saints, that it's not just a random thing that we're doing on a Sunday morning because we had nothing better to do. We thank you, Lord, this is a holy gathering. This is the gathering of your saints. So we thank you, God, for every single person here, Lord, being a gift into the body. I pray, Lord, that our time in getting around your scriptural truths, your word, I pray that God, it would be a time that would reap a harvest of righteousness in us and among us. I pray that, Lord, our time together would be something that would please you, God. That, Lord, it really and truly would. It would be like a sweet-smelling aroma of sacrifice, God. We glorify you. We worship you. We thank you, God, that we're not going to walk out of here the same way we walked in. And God, in this gathering of the saints, somehow, some way, we pray if there's anybody here who's disconnected from you, who's far from you, that by the end of our time together, people would be drawn closer to you, that they would know you, and they would know of your love today. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Before you grab your seat, just turn to a couple people and say, I'm really glad I'm sitting near you. Go ahead. Just tell them. Just tell them. Online people, really glad you're joining us. Grow and go. We're on part two. We kicked this off last week. This is a series that I'm talking about spiritual maturity, talking about growing, and we're going to eventually get to the going, but grow and go. We kicked this series off last week, a more foundational message about becoming a mature church. How many mature people do we have in the house? What are the rest of you? I wonder. Maturity in the natural means acting your age. Maturity in the spirit means acting like Jesus. So last week we talked about how a spiritually mature person has the local church revelation that Jesus, have you ever thought about this? That Jesus, God in the flesh, could have died for our sins without telling anybody else, could have died for our sins without involving and gathering and assembling the disciples and ministering while in his earthly time. He could have done all that, but what did he show us? He modeled that the church, the people of God, it would be a body of believers working together. So spiritual maturity, someone who undervalues the role of the church in God's plan, spiritually mature people, they see the church as the hope of the world. Why? Because we've been charged, we've been called, we've commissioned, Lord, to bring the gospel message to every single person who has yet to hear it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Famous last words of someone with a dying faith is, I don't need a church to follow Jesus. You're technically true, but you just ain't going to last long. I'm not going to re-preach it. As a matter of fact, if you missed it, we're selling the tape in the trunk of a car outside, so pick that out. Reread verse 16. It says, he makes the whole body fit together. You know, I've heard that cassette tapes are back. Did y'all know that? No, seriously. How do you play them? I don't know. That's a good question. I think they're just shelf ornaments. Montre, should I share it now? Yeah? Yeah, we're going to release this year, by the end of the year, we're going to release our first ever Wave RVA EP this year. Praise the Lord. Come on. And you can only buy it on tape. Praise the Lord. So someone better help us figure out how to play these things. Verse 16 says, he makes the whole body, Paul says about Jesus, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. Someone say healthy. Turn to your ear and say, you're looking healthy. No, don't say that. And growing and full of love. So let's talk about these things. There's three things that we pull out of this passage. Number one, spiritual maturity means you are growing healthy. Spiritual maturity means you are growing healthy. We should be growing, amen. We always talk about, you know, healthy things grow. We do say, I believe that the vision for our church, the vision that God has for his church is that the church would be a church that would see people added, amen. You look at the early church, the book of Acts, it commends, it celebrates, it states the fact that, man, on this day, thousands were added. And so we want to be the kind of church that is seeing people growing. It's not always numerical growth. Sometimes it's growth in grace. Sometimes it's growth in fruit, amen. But I just believe that over at least the trend of time, that God's church is a church that should be growing. Anybody want to see the church grow? I want to see our church grow. I make no apologies for it. I want to see Wave Church grow, amen? But I want to see the church grow. Can I get an amen? I celebrate with churches that are growing. I want to see the church grow in every part of the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, amen? I'm one of those weird guys. I'm a pastor. I'm already a little weird. But, like, I keep an eye on the trend. How is Christianity doing across the world? Man, it upsets me when I don't hear that Christianity is continuing to grow compared to some other belief systems. Why? Because we have the belief system. We have the way. We have the truth. We have the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. We just gathered and got away like Alex was just sharing. And the cool thing about 2023 is across our two locations in the 804, 2023 was a banner year. We had the most new people come through our doors. We had the most decisions for Christ. We had the most people water baptized last year than in any other year previous to now. So that's worth praising God for. Can I get an amen? Let's praise the Lord for what he's doing. Verse 13, Paul says, be mature in the Lord and measuring up to the full and the complete standard of Christ. Guess what? Jesus measures. Amen. It cares about measuring. When you're younger, you grow by default, but when you become mature, how many people know you have to choose growth? How many people have your measured heights on your wall or in a cabinet or in a doorway? Anybody like that? Yeah, we were really good for like the first child, and then the last two, we're like, whatever. As long as we know that we can see it, they're growing. But I've noticed, especially in my youngest, I have three girls. My youngest, for whatever reason, she's on this kick. She's 5 years old, but she loves, like, talking like she's 2 years old. So, like, she gets a kick out of it, like, regressing, and, like, she, like, owns being the baby, and she starts doing all this baby talk. You know, I don't know if she thinks she's being cute, probably she's trying to manipulate me for something is more likely the answer. But it's one thing when a 5-year-old acts like a 2-year-old. It's another thing when like a 15-year-old acts like a 2-year-old. Amen? If that were the case, you'd probably think I'm a bad parent, right? But I wonder how many of us as believers have stopped maturing, stopped growing past the point of getting saved. I wonder how many of us, like, we're actually not pretending or regressing, like we've actually just stopped growing. And I wonder how many outsiders who come into our doors, who come into not just a building, but who come and step foot into a church faith community and see something that is not a prophetic witness to the goodness of God, the power of God, but yet still just see the same thing that the world is offering them in any other gathering. Because I believe that when people come in here, man, there should be a witness that there is something powerful. There is something different. There's a special grace. There's a special love. There's a special warmth. There's a special power when the people of God, when people walk into this place, I wonder, are they just seeing what every other place is offering them? Or are they seeing something that just, man, there's something different. What is that? It's a lot of things. It's the power of the Holy Spirit present. It's God's grace on the place. It's our love growing. But I believe all those things are encapsulated when the people of God are continuing to grow in spiritual maturity, in health. Like the church should be, listen, the church is not perfect. Amen? You know, we talk about that a lot. It's not perfect, but when people walk in, there should be this sense of like, man, these people are working to be something beyond what they started out as. There should be testimonies of people wanting to grow. There should be testimonies about people wanting to be kinder, wanting to be nicer, wanting to be more generous, working on themselves as unto the glory of God. Like, I want to be that kind of a place. But what causes a church to be unhealthy and immature? I wrote some things down. Number one, when people become the center of the church, not Jesus. How about this one? People drift into religious routine. What is that? That's motion without meaning. When we drift from God's word into preference. When we drift from the truth to our truth. The church... What causes it to be immature is when we never promote or encourage spiritual maturity, which is the thrust of this series. The thing I see there in verse 2 is Paul saying a marker of spiritual maturity is that we would be growing in our humility and gentleness. He says, always be humble and gentle. These are two words that the scripture in this passage focuses on. The opposite of humble and gentle is prideful and mean. Ain't it? That's how some people are. That's how some Christians are. That's how some churches are. But the church that is being celebrated in Ephesians is one that is humble. It's a humble church. And it's a gentle church. Amen. That's the church. But let's talk about you. How do you know you're spiritually immature? How about this one? When your world is centered around your happiness. When your world is centered around your happiness. Okay, how about the next one? The only investment into your faith that you make is your Sunday of service. Sunday service. You know you're spiritually mature when the totality of the investment that you make in drawing to Jesus is just what happens on an hour and a half block on Sunday. It's just not the picture of God's people. How about this one? You know you're spiritually immature. I feel like Pastor Jeff Foxworthy right in there. You might be spiritually immature if you never take responsibility for your own spiritual growth. Well, you know, I'd be a better prayer if my CG leader was better. You know, I'd be more knowledgeable about God's word if the pastor was better. Okay. You know you're spiritually immature if you're quick to judge others. You know you're spiritually immature if you are selfish with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Selfish. You know you're spiritually immature when you view interdependence on one another as a weakness rather than a strength. I'd rather do it my own. I can do it myself. It's better, faster. It is faster. Let's be honest, right? if you want to go, what's that old proverb? If you want to go, not biblical, I think it's just, you know, just in the world, but you want to go fast, go by yourself. You want to go far, go with others, right? You know you're spiritually immature if when you're challenged, you get defensive and you refuse to listen. Y'all are afraid to clap. My friend here, you were the only one that wanted to give me a hand clap. Spiritual maturity right here. I read this quote. I like it. You'll never know someone's level of maturity until you tell them no. You'll never know someone's level of spiritual maturity until you tell them no. Isn't that true, parents? Right? My oldest is about to be 9. She's finally getting to that place where when I just say no, she's like, ah, dang it. All right. When my youngest, when I tell her no, it is a complete meltdown. Funny in the natural, man, it's terrible in the spirit. You know you're spiritually immature if you're more defensive than you are submitted. I will not. I will save it for a different week. But if you're going to keep growing healthy, we got to do what? Verse 3, what Paul says, make every effort. Make every effort. Yes, the Bible is calling us to be a people who make efforts. I don't know what your impression of what it looks like to be a Christian, and I want to tell you that there is the finished work of righteousness from Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? But there is also an active part that we must play in our righteousness and sanctification process in Jesus. We have to make every effort. Are you still making the effort? Amen. We don't like effort, but we need to make every effort. We are, like, Christians are put in effort kind of people. Paul calls us to be a people who put in the work. To make every effort, to make every effort in what though? What kind of effort? He says, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. Keep yourself, to make every effort to keep yourselves united. Second point, spiritual maturity means you are growing more united. That's an easy amen right there. I thought just to prove that maybe we might be faking it, that we're already embodying the fruit of this, we might clap. Let me try that again. Spiritual maturity means we are growing more united. Praise the Lord. Psalms 133 talks about how where there is unity, there is commanded blessing. How many people want more blessing in their lives? I know I do, and I ain't scared to say it. We need to grow in the grace of unity as the body of Christ. Unity brings power to your purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30 says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. It's an exponential power, amen, when we come together in unity. We need to remind ourselves what team we're on. John 17, 23, Jesus says, I'm in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So Jesus, his heart, his desire is that we would experience perfect unity as the body and that the world will know us by our unity. That you've heard that phrase, a house divided, right? It's like when your household doesn't like the same teams, right? That's actually out of Luke chapter 11. It says a house divided against itself will fall. How many people live in a divided house? Amen. Like one person likes, you know, the Cowboys, another person likes the Commanders or something like that. Anybody live in a household like that? You do. Yeah. Examples of poor leadership. That's what that is. There's just no other way to put it. I'm sorry. It's okay. I don't mean to call you out, but all four of the women in my house are Cowboys fans. Do they watch the games? No, but they are fans. Praise the Lord. I'm a great leader. in our marriage, it was a great revelation for me and my wife when we got this, that we are on the same team. That we're on the same team. Like it changed our fights. Not to say that we don't fight still. I tell you what, I like to say this, we have not had our best fight yet. Truly. Well, not to go down this whole tangent, but you know that conflict is a reflection on the fact that you're still working on things. Like, conflict is representation that you're still making an effort. So don't be afraid of conflict, amen? Conflict is a necessary thing. It's when there's no longer any conflict that I might be a little concerned. But when we figured out, man, we're on the same team, Team Paraíso, it started to change things, that we're wearing the same uniform. If you ever watch a sporting event, a game, and, like, a fight breaks out, right, like, it's kind of awesome. Actually, I enjoy it. It's pretty cool. You know, and it's pretty awesome when one team starts a fight with another team. It's like, all right, cool, they're trying. That's awesome. It kind of gets like, all right, they're feeling feisty today. It's a whole nother feeling when you see team members on the same team fighting. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. Yeah. Fight the other team. But on the same team, fighting shit, like, you shouldn't be having drag. That shouldn't be the thing. Conflict, fine. Address stuff, fine. Work stuff out, fine. But, man, when you start fighting, infighting amongst yourselves, we naturally understand, yuck, this is off-putting, right? And so as believers, we've got to come to this revelation that we are on the same team. We're on the same team. In your home, in your family, you're on the same team. You with your kids, you're on the same team. Us in this church, we're on the same team. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, we're on the same team. Us and other churches, we're on the same team. Team Jesus, we are. My competition is not another church. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all the same. Guess what? My family, we eat at a certain time. I don't care what time you eat. We eat at a certain time, and I expect you there for dinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not about sameness, but it's about being on the same team. The devil's number one MO is disunity. Think about the angels in heaven before he was expelled. Disunity. Think about Adam and Eve tried to sow disunity. The Son and the Father tried to sow disunity. And the enemy would want nothing more than to fracture and to divide your relationships, your family, your community with the church, to try to disunify and fracture this country, amen? And if the enemy can distract us with drama, he can take us off of our mission. The most important name on your back is not the name of the neighborhood that you live in. The most important name on your back is not the culture that you came up from. The most important name on your back is not whatever political party affiliation you belong to. Oh, I'm going to come back to that. But unity, what is it? It's not sameness. It's harmony. Okay? Verse 11, what did Paul say? He says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. And look at the gifts that he talks about. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity. So in the same passage of text, Paul is espousing, he's charging us to be unified, and yet he says the vehicle and the means and the gifts by which we arrive there are going to be coming from different offices. So understand what God is trying to say. He says, I'm not calling you to be the same. There's going to be differences. There's going to be different things that I'm giving to different people, but the pursuit is still unity. 1 Corinthians 1 chapter 10, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, live in harmony. Someone say harmony. Live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and in purpose. I love that the word harmony is used there because that's a deliberate thing. Amen? I don't know if you grew up harmonizing. I was in middle school, all city chorus. Shout out. before puberty, but then I got kicked off the team, praise the Lord. But at one point, I knew what harmonies was. Let me date myself really quick and see what kind of church we're working with this morning, okay? I'm going to date myself, but I just want to see if y'all can vibe with a little bit of a harmony, see what y'all know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but let's give it a try. A-doom-doom-doom-da-da, a-doom-doom-doom-da-da. Okay, that was terrible. That was actually really bad. It was really bad. Montre this morning, we did that test in our leaders meeting in Montre. I was like, who has never heard of Boyz II Men or that song in Montre? I was like, me. And I was like, we're going to take applications for a new worship leader, praise the Lord, because that's just crazy. This word unity in this passage, in the Greek, it's the same word where we get our word symphony. Symphony. So it's not about every single one of us playing the same instruments or even playing the same notes, but it is us coming together to make one sound. Amen. What year is it? 2024, baby. It's not just Mamba year. What's happening this year? It's an election year. My favorite year, if I could choose any, period of time or years, my favorite years of being a pastor are election years. Hashtag sarcasm. But can we just go ahead now from the jump of this election year, can we just agree that there is an enemy and he's not creative? He's going to use the same old tactics that he does every election year to try to divide people. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in this house, there are Republicans in the room. I don't know if you know this, but amen, some proud ones as well. I don't know if you know this, but in this room, there are Democrats in the room. I don't know if you know this, but there are probably independents in this room. I don't even know what else is beyond that. Like Green Party, is that a thing still? And even amongst all that, there are some people who stole someone's I voted sticker just to post a selfie. Okay, that's also true. But aren't you glad we didn't divide the room up when you walked in? Aren't you glad when you walked in when you say Republican or Democrat? And we say, oh, Republicans sit over there. Democrats sit over there. Aren't you glad that we didn't divide you up when you walked in and said, oh, black people sit over there. White people sit over there. Hispanics in the back, Asians up front. No, I'm just kidding. aren't you glad... we didn't say, how much money you make? A lot of money? Cool. Right this way. Oh, how much money do you make? You're still in school? Okay, look, yeah, we got a seat for you. How aren't you glad we weren't Cowboys fans, chosen, praise the Lord, Bills fans, nosebleeds, amen. Aren't you glad we didn't do that? But yet, we in 2024, we all know by now, right, that the algorithm is trying to divide us. We have an awareness about this, right? Let it not be so in the house of the Lord. Let it not be so in the house of the Lord. If you're passionate about politics, I commend you. I would celebrate you. That's awesome. I believe Christians are supposed to be involved in the political process. I just am here to say, remember, you're a Christian first. Vote like one, yes, but act like Jesus in the process. We should be united above any other stuff. What about? About who Jesus is, what he's called us to do, our purpose, our mission, seeing the lost found, winning souls, and I'm going to keep talking about it this year. Amen. All the while, spiritual maturity. Verse 3 says, make every effort, what? To keep yourselves united in the Spirit. I think Paul, prophetically knew that, it's not always going to be easy to stay united. It's going to require effort. I'm going to be honest, left to my own devices, I would rather just kind of, float to my default settings. Can I get an amen? But he says, no. Bind yourselves together with peace. Right, because it requires us activating peace to bind ourselves together. I want to just say this. Avoid arguments and quarrels. You know you're spiritually immature when you, find joy in being a troll. Amen? Then, like the I remember, man, when I was just not that much younger, like I kind of, you know, how can I stir the pot a little bit? Yeah, the older I get, it's like, man, it's kind of nice just having peace. When you get stuck into quarreling, man, you're going to grow resentful. You're going to lose friendships and relationships. You can have right conversations with wrong people. And wisdom is not having right conversations with wrong people, but having right conversations with the right people. You will have peace when you are working on unity with God's people. We are called to reach those who are far from God. But when we unite, man, who you unite yourself with should be those who are drawing closer to God. So there's a difference between who we're called to reach versus who we're called to unite to. Do you hear me? Every verse I've read to you today about unity is not about uniting ourselves with the world. It's not just about uniting ourselves to anybody and everybody. It's about uniting ourselves with the people of God, the church. So ensure you're uniting yourself this year to godly people that are bringing you closer to Jesus, not farther from Jesus. And if you want unity in your marriage, here's a free tidbit. Unite yourself with other healthy marriages. I have seen so many marriages fall apart by having an entire circle of friends of single people. You is stupid. We need to be united to people reminding you of your call, reminding you of your why, reminding you of your purpose, and challenging you to live a life worthy of the call of God on your life. Can I get an amen? And lastly, we're almost done. I think I lost my timer. Number three, spiritual maturity means growing full of love. Spiritual maturity means growing full of love. That's how Paul closed out verse 16, growing full of love. I mean, let me go back to politics for a second. I don't know if you've realized this yet. You can disagree with someone and still be kind. Like, I know we don't really have any models for that. The church should be. Remember when I was saying how people come into the church, it should be different than what they see in the world? Like, this is one of the ways that I'm talking about. Like drug dealers, hopefully not for very long. Like, should be sometime, like, by the Spirit of God, sitting next to a police officer in church. And not because the cop brought him, amen. Right? Like, you should find yourself, like, being like, oh, wow, I didn't know that's what you voted on. Oh, okay, tell me why. Like, and it should be something where we would more and over time continue to bind ourselves with peace together. Right? Jesus says the world will know you by your love. Listen to this verse out of Luke chapter 6, okay? This is Jesus talking. You know, Jesus, he's crazy, man. Love your enemies. We're like, okay, all right, you know what? Like, whatever, pastor, I got love for him. Okay, let's keep reading. Love your enemies. Then what? Do good to them. Not just here. No, do good to them then. Because this is what Jesus told us to do. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. When's the last time you lent your enemy some money? Which, by the way, if you're spiritually mature, the only money you should ever lend to somebody is the money you would never expect to get back. Don't lend nobody any money ever in your life unless you've already kissed it goodbye. That's what a wise person does. Okay, so keep going. It says, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Like, pastor, how can I be kind to them? Like, do you know what they did? Pastor, how can I be kind to them? Like, do you know how they did that thing that one time? Pastor, how can I be kind to them? Do you know what they believe about them? Do you know what they think about those little ones? Like, how can I be kind to them? They're wicked. Spiritual maturity is not acting your age. It's acting more like Jesus. Jesus says, our God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. What? That's crazy, God. So what does he tell us to do with that? You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. That's tough. That's tough, ain't it? Easier said than done, Pastor. You're dang right. No one said spiritual maturity was going to be easy. Listen, I'm just trying to present to you what the Bible has to say about it. Worship team, come join me. We're wrapping it up. Verse 2, let me reread it again. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. And then what? Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make allowances for each other because of your love. Yeah, okay, be patient with each other, but what does make allowance? I think about allowances like a savings account. Amen? I'm trying to bring that into our home so that they can figure out like how money works and the value of a dollar, which, by the way, does not go very far. And I think about that, and it's like, the scripture to me, when I think about allowances, it's like things are going to come up. An expense that you didn't account for is going to come up in your life and in your relationships, right? But because you've been making allowances, you're able to be like, oh, I can handle that because I made allowance for that. I can cover that expense. Like, that's the dynamic of us in our relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Because guess what? In the family of God, there are going to be some withdrawals in our relationships. So a spiritually mature person isn't blindsided when it happens. Do you hear me? Like, how foolish of a father would I be if I was ever shocked at something one of my kids did to me? You know what I mean? You know, I'm not trying to throw any of my kids under the bus, okay? And I won't name names because, you know, they teach you that in Bible college. Don't do that. One of my kids, literally that day, was just like, I hate this family. Like, how immature of a father would I be if I was just like, whether or not I continue to tolerate her saying that is another story. But like a spiritually mature person has already made the allowances for the faults that will inevitably come. If you know you're a spiritually immature person, when the first time someone makes a relationship withdrawal in the house of God with you causes you to spin out. Oh my God, I can't believe someone corrected me. I never sin. What? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, you're super spiritually immature. Got it. Like, you know you're spiritually immature when someone who you thought was like, man, they're my closest friend, and they said something that you felt like betrayed you, or they did something that caused you to lose trust, and it caused your whole entire, like, listen, I'm not trying to say be jaded. I'm not trying to say that. Keep a sweet spirit. I like to keep a Teflon heart. It can still heat up, but man, stuff is just gonna slide right off. Amen. And what does it look like for a spiritually mature church, it's growing full of love. And you know you're growing full of love when you've already started to make a lot. Settle in your spirit now. A brother is going to hurt me. A brother is going to offend me. A brother is going to wrong me. But I've already made allowances for it. Why? Because you're growing in your love. This year, I'm praying you would grow. Grow quicker to forgive. Grow quicker to show mercy. Grow quicker to show kindness. Grow quicker to build a bridge. Grow quicker in your love for one another. If you receive the word this morning, can we give him praise?